Hello, welcome back to Walk of Wisdom. Today I'm here with Jose Rivas, class of 76. That took a while to get.
1976.
And he is the head preparator at the BCMA. Thanks so much for coming to the show.
My pleasure to be here.
So let's get started with questions. How would you describe your role at the BCMA?
I would like to say the conductor, but not really. I'm sort of the get everything organized for all the moving pieces for an installation. So I have to work with the directors, the curators, the registrar, you know, see what all the elements of the particular exhibition will be. So, you know, if I have to get carpenters to, you know, build some more crates or walls or get a mount maker in here to do some mounts for special exhibitions, we coordinate all that for everybody.
How did you find your way to the BCMA?
I grew up in New York, in the Bronx. So going to a museum was sort of a special treat for me. My mom would take us out of school every once in a while and just say, let's go to the museums. Mm-hmm. And we'd go to the Met, we'd go to the Guggenheim or the Frick. So they were always a part of my life, even though I grew up in a shady part of the Bronx. But that was our escape. So that's how I sort of navigated myself into the museum world. Really.
And how did you find your way to Maine?
I was part of a sort of a program, inner city program back in the 70s called College Bound. And they sort of plucked me out of the Bronx and said, would you like to go to Bowdoin? I had a very good guidance counselor at the time.
Yeah.
And he sort of directed me to apply here. And there was Hobart and Dartmouth and a couple of other places, but Bowdoin gave me the best package.
So. Yes.
I said, okay, I'll come.
Yeah.
And plus, when I came up here for the first time, it was in the middle of an ice storm and to see the campus. Mm-hmm. And I thought I'd died and come to heaven because it was just so beautiful.
Oh, yes.
So it was just gorgeous. So, yeah.
What'd you study at Bowdoin?
Well, my intention was to be a Latin American studies student and do something with my Spanish, but right away, my freshman year, I needed a job, and like I gravitated to the museum, and I said, well, I started working because I just really just needed a job right away my freshman year. Mm. And my feelings, my inclinations started drifting towards the art history world. So, yeah.
I know that you interned here, correct, or am I wrong?
Yeah, I was, after I graduated, I was a Ford Mellon something fellow. This was back in 1977, so it was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I stayed on an extra year and helped with installations again, and mainly that's been my sort of, I have had a lot of hands-on experience with the museum. Early on, they sent me to a lot of conferences about materials to use, and care of works of art, how to pack things. So back in the 80s and 90s, I was, you know, doing all sorts of going to special conferences and things like that. So that's how I sort of developed an expertise in the museum world. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How is it like working at, like staying on campus and working and still being here?
That's funny. It's like I tell people I've never cut the umbilical cord. it's been great. It's been a wonderful experience all in all. I never expected to stay here for all these years. I've been here now back 42 years. Yeah, I never anticipated this in my life when I, you know, back when I was a senior in 1976. Mm-hmm. But it all worked out.
I know you said that you grew up with opportunities to see like culture through museums. Mm-hmm. So in the initial stages of your career, did you envision art playing such a major role?
No, not really. I thought I would do this for a little while and then move on to something else. Mm-hmm. But the more I learned, the more I liked it, the more I realized I was good at interacting with people, the different artists, the curators, and, you know, I could balance everything off, you know, and so I realized I was good at it. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, I can make a career out of this. Yeah. And so I stayed on. In the beginning, it was a little hard because when I first came back, I left for about 3 years and then came back, and it was only a part-time job at that point. The museum was much smaller. We weren't doing all the rotations of exhibitions that we do now. So it was just sort of a one-man show, a part-time thing. So I had to sort of hustle doing other exhibitions for other institutions. Mm-hmm. Back that lasted about 3 or 4 years, and then they made the position full-time. So it's especially after the 19... There was a renovations in the 74, 75, so that sort of doubled the footprint of the museum back then. And so they needed, they were doing a lot of more rotations of exhibitions. So it was me in the beginning and the housekeeping, actually. He was an old Mainer who walked around the museum smoking a cigar, mm-hmm. if you can believe this, but he knew what he was doing. And he showed me the ropes in a lot of ways. Yeah. His name was Merle Pottle. He was an interesting man.
Also, if you need like a break too, while your job may not be as public facing as like the co-directors or Sabrina's right. job, like you still do need those interpersonal skills to work yeah. together with artists and
right, right.
other staff.
Yeah. It's a balance of, like I said before, just trying to keep everybody happy, all the egos, you know, in place. And yeah, it's, I realize that that's something I, you know, like I can do well. Mm-hmm.
Do you find yourself collaborating with another department within the BCMA or outside of it particularly often?
Not often. Well, we've done a lot of stuff with Matt Klingels, and he's always wonderful to work with. We've done some things with the French department, you mm-hmm. know, looking at French prints and stuff.
Yes.
And that's always been fun. So, yeah, I mean, I don't interact as much as, like, let's say Sabrina would. But, you know, at some point they have to bring me in to say, well, how many things can we fit in this gallery
and logistics, stuff like
that. Yeah, the logistics of it. So, yeah, I am working with other departments. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How would you consider your work-life balance?
That's an interesting question because, you know, this has been my life for so many years. And I was going to say sometimes I can leave it behind me, but you really don't. Mm-hmm. it's a part of my life. So I'm constantly thinking of things I have to do, things I have to get ready, things, you know, and scheduling everything is always, the wheels are always turning in my head. Mm-hmm. So, you know, do I have to get painters next week? Do I have to get a carpenter for this, an electrician for that? So, yeah, there is a point where I can put it off, but most of the times it's the wheels are always turning about with the job. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What surprised you most as you settled into your position here? And then do you still have any surprises to this day?
Oh, there are always surprises. There are always challenges. So, yeah, dealing with the different personalities is a challenge and a surprise sometimes. But it's always wonderful to have that interaction. So it's good.
In your many years of experience here, have you seen a change in the way the BCMA, but also the museum landscape as a whole change?
Yeah, it's changed a whole lot. When I was a student here, students were allowed to go into storage and handle art and do all sorts of things that now, because of the level of expertise that's needed to run the place now, we just sort of have to restrict the handling of all the objects, which is understandable. Yeah. But before, when we were just a small institution, it was a lot of fun. I mean, they would send you down into storage and, you know, you'd go and look at, you know, a bunch of Rembrandts by yourself and stuff and say, oh my gosh.
Yeah, like loosely.
But that sort of thing can't happen anymore. Yeah. So it's a lot more restricted and, well, not restricted, but a lot, how would you say, just handled in different ways, I guess. Yeah.
I guess your job now, like, has a larger sense of responsibility with.
Yeah. I mean, if there's anything in the collection that people need to look at, it usually is Joe Haluska or myself who have to handle everything that comes through. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Now with this experience, as you have a closer role with the art itself, like how has that changed your concept of art?
Not that it has changed, but I just appreciate it more and more over the years and the different kinds of art that has come through. Some things you wonder about, is this really, you know, should this be in the museum or stuff, whatever? But you begin to appreciate all the different levels of artists trying to respond to the environment, to the world and stuff. So it's been interesting, yeah. Yeah, develop, you know, to grow through the years with your concept of what beautiful is, maybe, mm-hmm. yeah. or what's challenging, mm-hmm. Which could go back to, if you want to talk about the potatoes.
Yes.
We can go back to that.
Yes. We'll just get right to it. So yeah. Suzanne did mention that there was an infamous potato show, and could you please say more about that?
Well, it was these two New York artists. I think they were a couple. They were a couple. And they brought in, I want to say, it was about a ton of potatoes into the galleries. And what we have to understand, back in the 80s, we did not have climate control. There was no air conditioning. And the potatoes went down into the lowest part of the gallery spaces. And it was a warm summer. Mm-hmm. And the exhibition opened up in June. By July, the potatoes started rotting. And creating an odor, as only potatoes can do. Mm-hmm. And so we had to shovel out all these rotting potatoes with, you know, they were maggots and things coming out of them. And so that was quite the experience. It took us a couple of days to clean the gallery up after that. But it was, we made the Wall Street Journal, I guess, because of that, I think, for the first time. So that was quite the experience.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Do you have any other memorable experiences?
There was an Irish artist who had an installation in the Walker Gallery. His name was Tim, I forget his last name now. Mm-hmm. But he did an installation of beans and underwear and winding clocks. Mm-hmm. And we had to wind up the clocks every day because they had to go off at a certain time. And it was just me and a couple of students had to do this, you know, all throughout the summer. It mm-hmm. was quite the quite the challenge, but he was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bearing the Rabbit, that was the name of the exhibit. There was a woman, French woman, an artist named Michelle Blondel, and she did an installation in one of the galleries. I don't know if Suzanne had mentioned this at all.
I don't think so.
About the cod that we had to dry for the gallery so that it had to create a certain odor or, you know, a scent in the gallery. So we had to bake all this cod and then bring it up into the gallery. It was horrendous. But it was a beautiful show. She did all this glass work in red glass. Mm-hmm. And then she would do all these drawings of French cathedrals and things like that. But the cod was a little bit much to deal with.
Definitely an experience.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm surprised Suzanne didn't mention that. Because she had to bake all the cod. Oh.
How was it like seeing the renovations and being a part of that?
It's been really, really interesting. I realize that, you know, when I first came to school here in 1972, there was the museum just had the three galleries upstairs. Mm-hmm. And then there was a small little gallery downstairs, an office space. They would show the ancient collection in a couple of sort of mm-hmm. recessed shelves. And then in 1974, they did a big renovation where they doubled the footprint of the museum.
Yes.
So we were doing a lot of rotations at that point, but we still didn't have the climate control that we needed and mm-hmm. air conditioning that we needed to really be put on the map.
Yes.
for the collection. It's been interesting to see it all change and how it's been a struggle, but it's been worthwhile. And, you know, right now I think we're a premier institution because of, you know, the college has invested into the museum.
I remember Suzanne was mentioning how, like, it was very emotional when the ribbon cutting day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was the 76 renovation happened. And then by 1980, they were talking already of another renovation because mm-hmm. we needed to do the climate control. And yeah. then the administration in the 70s just did not see that. You know, they thought we could have this great space and mm-hmm. show art, but not take care of it the way yeah. properly. So that doing the big renovation in 2007, that was impressive. I mean, it was a long time waiting for it, but it just changed the landscape for us. Mm-hmm. So,
besides the cod and the potato exhibitions, are there any projects or exhibitions you are most proud of?
I really enjoyed the Alabaster show that we borrowed from the Victoria and Albert Museum. Mm-hmm. That was a major loan to the college, and it was impressive. With the director at the time was a guy named Kevin Salatino, and he had a very amazing eye, and so he had all these cases that we had to fabricate and all that, and it was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun. Once we got it done, it was one of the more beautiful installations mm-hmm. that we did. And that one and the ivory mirror, which I worked with Steve Perkins, mm-hmm. Professor Perkins. Yeah, that was another challenge, but a very wonderful experience working with him and getting those loans and getting that put together.
Yeah. It really paid off.
Yeah. The people don't realize how many little moving parts to these exhibitions there are that you have to sort of follow through and you know, get the right fabric, get the right lighting, get mm-hmm. the right cases and things. So that was a challenge, but in the end it was really worthwhile. Yeah.
What would you say is the most rewarding part of your role?
You know, seeing an exhibition go from scratch to finish, yeah, mm-hmm. from start to finish. It's always a great experience. I feel like after the exhibition there's usually a little postpartum depression because, you know, you've worked so hard and then all of a sudden you're just exhausted. But it's a wonderful experience to see it through from beginning to end. Yeah.
What is one piece of advice you would give to those interested in getting into museum work?
Don't be intimidated. Just put your foot in the door, go in there. You know, there's a myriad of jobs in the museum world that one can find for themselves. Mm-hmm. When I started thinking about museum work, I thought I'd go into conservation. But I realized early on that organic chemistry was going to be a killer. So I said, well, you know, maybe there's something else I could do. Mm-hmm. And so there's just all sorts of possibilities to be had. And not to be intimidated by the museum world, because it's just an ordinary place with beautiful things in it. So,
yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming to the show today.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening.